time now for the Lunchtime Doctor. And of course, we'll be in Sky Studios today. Freedom will be carrying on our broadcast as we bring you all the updates about the local government election. So we have Dr. Sophia Mohammed. Good afternoon to you, Doc. Hope you had a great weekend.
Good afternoon, Bass. And I'm live in studio today in our Sky Studio. Beautiful. Just to make sure we're getting your questions, we're able to answer, we're able to help you dissect those medical challenges. This is your Lunchtime Doctor with myself, Dr. Sophia Mohammed, here to answer your questions. You're going to get those numbers. Remember, we're in the Sky Studio today, so a little switch with the numbers. Bass is going to give it to you, but the WhatsApp numbers remain the same.
All right, so our numbers to call, and for those of you familiar with Sky, 625-2759. That's 625-2759 or 624-7729. That's 624-7729. Of course, so you could also message our Freedom WhatsApp number 333-9950. That's 333-9950.
So let us know what's on your lunchtime plate. Let us know what health habits you have been learning from this program. And of course, we're here to dissect those medical challenges. You asked how the weekend was. Yeah, over this last weekend, it was pretty great because you're seeing as the restrictions are released, there are now a number of health fairs, a number of 5Ks, 10Ks, even half marathons held across Trinidad and Tobago. So I am always in awe when I see the number of persons turn up to these events, and I honestly think the numbers are increasing. Is it our population making that honest effort to become a little bit healthier? I certainly hope so. Running as part of a community, even walking, that helps tremendously. And while we were doing one of the 5Ks in particular, you know, there were so many different ages you're seeing. Elderly, you were seeing young ones, and I felt very encouraged. So let me know, any one of you all participated in a 5K and a marathon over the weekend? Let me know what your responses are.
All right, folks, all right, as we wait for your calls, I still have to get our Freedom phone lines there, so we will await those WhatsApp messages. But we will take your calls here on Sky 99.5 FM, 625-2759. Let's go straight to our phone lines here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome. Hello, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, miss. We're hardly hearing you, ma'am. We're hardly hearing you.
Hearing me?
We're hardly hearing you. Are you on speakerphone?
Yeah.
Well, you need to come off a little bit, just. Are you driving?
Hello?
Yes, okay.
Yes, we're hearing you. Hearing you. Go ahead and speak. Yeah.
Doc, I wanted to find out because I have some, my stomach is dark.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I eat, I always get a heat in my body.
Right.
And I don't know why. Because I supposed to get something in my throat to know what's going on, and the hospital ain't called me as yet. So I just wanted to find out why the heat is over my body.
Now, when you said you know, with Trinidadians, we have a lot of persons experiencing this symptomatology of gas, and of course, feeling that increased temperature, that core temperature throughout the body. Now, I didn't get all of what you said about what is happening in the hospital, but here's what I want you to be able to be better familiar with. I want you to know what, in addition, may trigger those types of symptoms. What is it? Only after you're eating? Is it after doing some level of exercise? What is it? Or is it coming on from rest? If that's the case, then I certainly would want you to also have checked your thyroid values. I don't know what is the age limit, what is your age in with this particular patient, but we do see changes in temperature with a person in their perimenopausal, going through the menopausal time frame as well. We see a host of those changes. I don't know if there's an associated keen, but if there is, we certainly would want to know all of that. So next time you go to your healthcare professional, make sure you have a little bit of an idea of exactly what you want to let them know is concerning you, and that way we can help piece together the puzzle. Hope that answers the question.
All right, definitely. So I have the Frida on WhatsApp phone here, 306-1065, 306-1065. So you can message us those numbers. What's going to be going to happen in the Health Plus tomorrow?
So we're talking a little bit about volunteering. During the course of the July-August holidays, there are a lot of students volunteering. There are a lot of NGOs doing a host of different activities. And tomorrow, we're going to be talking about those health benefits of volunteering. Yes, you can also return to yourself in the process of giving back. Do you know volunteering base is a good way of managing your stress? Because you are connecting with persons. You're doing something hopeful. You're doing something positive. And last week in particular, we had a host of interns from the Diabetic Association of Trinidad and Tobago move through, not just the Guardian Media Building, but move through different locations. In fact, this week they're in Mayaro to do an outreach. I believe it's tomorrow. We'll give you those details later on. So in tomorrow's Health Plus, we're going to be talking about volunteering, and we're going to be touching a little bit about those activities parents can engage their young ones in during this July, August, to keep them stimulated, to keep them energized, but also to let them feel they connected to a greater purpose.
Definitely. And that could work for a lot of retirees as well, too.
That's right. And that's why in those NGOs, those organizations like Rotary, like Lions Clubs, you are seeing a number of not just retirees, but persons who are feeling, okay, they have a little bit of extra time. They're willing to volunteer. They want to fill their life with something a little more meaningful. In fact, during the pandemic itself, as a MassVax medical director, we had a host of volunteers across different NGOs, from Red Cross to Lions to Rotary, and without those volunteers, we could not have achieved what we achieved. So yes, it can apply to those who are younger, those who are older, at any age.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, well, last week, of course, we had the breastfeeding week. Somebody
That's
was
right.
asking, is it okay to breastfeed outdoors or in public?
Good question. So yes, you can breastfeed at any location. Of course, you want to be able to still maintain a level of hygiene for your little baby, and you want to give yourself that level of privacy. Some persons feel perfectly comfortable to be breastfeeding in a taxi, in a space of commute. No problem with that, because breastfeeding should be on demand. Some babies tend to want to have to be fed almost every hour on the hour, and once you're hearing those cries, it will stimulate that letdown reflex. So yes, you certainly can breastfeed even out in public. However, I would make sure you just have a few extra additional things to support the process. Hope that answers the question.
Definitely. All right. Doc, what causes pain in your hands? I type a lot on the computers a lot as well. That's my main job, but I sometimes get a lot of pain in my hands. Is that arthritis?
So good question. This is something many persons, including myself, because we're typing nonstop sometimes. Here's what you need to do. It's not necessarily arthritis, but it's certainly some sort of inflammatory process happening at the joint. I'm sure you may have heard about something called carpal tunnel syndrome, where if the wrist is resting specifically at the edge of the keyboard or the edge of the desk, you can actually be compressing the nerve. What we tend to suggest is using that gel pad just on the edge of the keyboard, or you're actually supposed to have your keyboard elevated so your hands, your wrists are not resting at the surface level of the edge of the keyboard or the edge of a countertop, and thereby causing that compression on that particular area in the wrist, the carpal tunnel, because that will result in not just pain at the wrist, but swelling at the wrist, problems with moving the fingers. It's also important, if you realize you're at your desk typing for hours upon hours, that you take that break. Couple little exercises just at the wrist. You want to stretch out the fingers, you want to do the either circling, so what we call circumduction, clockwise, anti-clockwise, just to be able to stretch those nerves and ligaments at the wrist. Now, while we talk about the wrist, there can also be problems with just sitting at your desk for so long. Your posture, your ergonomics, you may end up feeling that incredible amount of pain on the base of your skull, at the higher parts of your neck, your shoulders. All of that is important to attend to, and this is why we recommend those stretching exercises. You know, that'd be a pretty good article for the Health Plus, just explaining some of those stretching exercises. It will benefit us as well. Persons who are at their desk on a daily basis. So thank you so much for sending in that message.
You know, sometimes, Doc, I even get some numbness on my fingertips, because everything right now is touch.
Touch, that's right. So we need to not just talk about it, but make sure we're doing those actions. So while I'm in studio, Bass, I'm going to give you those exercises right now. Yeah. Here's what I'm doing with Bass. To all those who are driving, who are at their desk, you're going to support your right hand. We're doing one hand at one, and then the following. Support your right hand with your left, holding your lower part of the arm. You want to rotate the wrist, so you're making circles about 8 or 10 times clockwise and then anti-clockwise. I want you to claw your fingers, and then I want you to expand the fingers. So let's make sure we're doing this about 8 or 10 times. Good. And you're just moving the wrist. You're not moving the whole hand. And now we switch. Take your right hand. You want to ensure you're supporting the wrist properly. And you're moving in a clockwise area. And then you do it anti-clockwise. Claw the fingers and then stretch them out. Give that ligaments and muscles there as much stretch as possible. You also want to hold. Take your left hand at the tips of the fingers and stretch backwards. Doing the same onto the other hand. And of course, you're doing the reverse. So you are extending the hand, stretching the hand, moving it in circles. That alone is going to ensure the muscles, when you're typing, those tendons and ligaments at the typing phase are not kept in that static position. Hope that answers the question.
All right, beautiful. I just made a video. I'll post it on my Instagram later on. You could follow me at BASSTNT3000. I'll tag Dr. Sophia as well, so you can check them out. All right, good day, Doctor. Which one is better to use, skim milk powder or skim milk liquid? Thank you.
Good question. I will always try to stay away from any sort of powder, because that means there were some sort of chemical additives to have it in that position of a powder form. Once you're using milk, try to utilize your low-fat milks, of course, and that energy. You want to just turn to the back. You want to look at the nutritional facts in particular. Looking at the nutritional facts will give you an idea of the amount of added sugars, the amount of added chemicals. If it's one thing I want all of our listeners to do, is get in the habit of turning things to the back and looking at the nutritional facts.
What about in terms of milk? Is it better to use like the natural cow's milk? I know some people prefer goat milk than the actual milk in the box.
So there isn't much difference in terms of health benefits between the additive milks or the natural milks. What we do like to make sure of, we're not using those that are high in saturated fats, like say carnation milk, evaporated milk, because those are full of sugars. What we do know is as natural as possible is as healthy as possible.
Great. Once again, folks, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor on Numbers. We're in Sky Studios today, 625-2759 and 624-7729. Let's get your WhatsApp messages, 306-1065. Good day. Is it possible to lose fat and gain muscle if I go on high protein diet while lifting weights. Thank you.
So yes, you certainly can. Now you mentioned there low calorie, high protein. That's the mix. Essentially, what you want to do is you want to balance your total calories. It also depends on what is your level of activity and of course what your BMI is. So we tend to look at all of those factors. We tend to look at what level of activity you want to be engaged in and what your total calories is for the day. Once you're putting yourself at a lower level of the calories per day and increasing that protein, I would also suggest increase the amount of fiber, because that will just help the gut in terms of mobility through the gut and of course just proper processing and digesting. You certainly also want to add, when we talk about exercise, you want to add high resistance exercise where there's either weightlifting, or if you're doing yoga, you can use the elastic band where there's that resistance build. All of that is useful in dropping the weight, but again, it's not guesswork. It's actually quite scientific in terms of trying to lose a couple of pounds and put on the weight in muscle size.
All right. Good afternoon, Doctor. I am in my 60s. At night, I wake up every 2 hours to go to the bathroom. Once the desire comes, I am awakened with an unbearable heat. Once I get up and pass urine, there's a reduction of heat. I'm thinking that, well, I'm seeing a female picture, so it has to be a female.
Right. Now, anyone who's passing, having to go to the bathroom to pass urine during the night, I certainly want you to get your diabetes values checked out. Typically, if you're being awakened to go and have this urine action, then please get your glucose values checked. That's what I'm very, very concerned about. I know most persons talk about this body heat. That's just as the body moves through different temperatures, different parts of the day, there are different values of cortisol that fluctuate, and of course, different hormonal values. Again, we're not too sure of the age. We do know that there can be changes as we go into that menopausal time, but in a case like this, I certainly want you to check your glucose metabolism.
Good day, Doctor. Can you explain adhesive capsulitis?
Certainly. Now, what we do see, and this is not something we see quite commonly in some of our patients with rheumatoid arthritis, is that they can have this inflammatory condition of the shoulder joint. It's actually called like a frozen shoulder. We may even see it in athletes, and it may be because of long-term trauma or overuse or not again proper ergonomics, even when you're at your desk. So that frozen shoulder may be an inflammatory reaction, either the tendons, the ligaments, or there may have been trauma before. I do hope you are on some level of physiotherapy, and of course you may need to add that level of medications, the NSAIDs, and of course you may even need to, some persons do engage with their orthopedic surgeons. They do add the cortisol injections directly to the shoulder based on the level of severity. But again, let your healthcare professional make those assessments. It may be starting with an x-ray, and of course you may need to ultrasound the shoulder joint in order to decide what is the level of the severity of this capsulitis.
Good afternoon, Doctor. My problem is like one of the callers. I am a seamstress, got up one morning with my wrist hurting and swollen.
Wow, yes, so exactly as we just talked about, when it comes to the overuse and of course the way we place our hands, I'm so sorry that you're experiencing that swelling. I want you sooner rather than later to, in case of it being swollen, to apply some warm packs. So you want to either have a warm towel, you may even put it under some hot water and then place that towel onto the wrist, and of course you may need to utilize some medications to reduce that pain and inflammation. It is not going to get any better if you don't have an intervention. The intervention can be directly to the area, and of course medications. You may even want to have some sort of supportive therapy like physiotherapy, or you may choose to go see your healthcare professional. I do understand that pain. In fact, one of my very close friends is a fashion designer, and every week I'm asking her, what level of exercise, what kind of break are you taking with your hands? Because sometimes you may be at the machine for hours upon hours. So just like the other caller did, and we actually talked about those exercises at the hand, that will also apply to you as well. Call us and let us know what's happening, say, 1 week from now.
What about those tension balls, doctor, that you could
use? All of that can help as well. Anything to improve the level of mobility and exercise at your fingers. More importantly, to give yourself the break. And that's the thing, you know. Do you know there's some apps now that actually remind us, stand, sit, drink your water. We're becoming very, very overly automated. But that's probably because of the intensity and the level of digital inundation.
All right. Doctor, I'm having some pain in my right heel. It is very painful. What can I do?
Where exactly did they have
the
pain?
The right heel.
Right heel. Yeah. So that may be heel spurs, right? One, we want to look at specifically, you want to look at your footwear. You also want to ensure that if it's not a calcium deposit that's happening there, so what is your nutrition like? You may definitely, there are as well, just like we just talked about those exercise balls, it is similarly for the feet as well. You want to give the heels that level of exercise, and you want to minimize the pain and inflammatory conditions to the heel. Hope that answers the question.
All right, doctor, what causes the uvula to stretch?
Right? So the uvula is a part of the oral cavity, just above the adenoids and part of the throat. It may be an inflammatory reaction that's happening, or even, say, if you're a cheerleader, if you're a teacher and overly shouting, if you're a singer, when some of those singers talk about they have a sore throat, it may be the uvula overly utilized. I would suggest you can use the warm gargles with salt, and if it's really inflamed, you certainly want to get that checked out.
All right. Good day, doctor. What can I do for severe constipation? I've tried almost everything.
No, I don't know what the everything is. Constipation on the whole can be debilitating. But I want you to know there are several treatment options. From the very end stage treatment, which is surgical treatment, if we actually need to do a scope to help evacuate, or the easier methods, as in what you can do on a daily basis, look at it, nutrition, increasing the fiber, increasing your daily water intake. There are even laxatives. I'm not a fan of laxatives, so let your healthcare professional prescribe or recommend those. And then, of course, there are things that we can add into our diet, things like Metamucil, that can be added into our daily eating. So there are a host of things that can be done. One, we want to ensure that you are properly checked out, because here's what could be causing the constipation and may be overlooked. If there's a mass within the entire GI tract, then that could be leading to the constipation. If there are polyps throughout the tract, that can also be. If there is a blood disorder, a person who tends to be anemic, they tend to present with constipation. There's some medications that the side effect of it is indeed constipation. So all of these things I want you to be mindful of. Please go see your healthcare professional and let's get it checked out.
All right, folks, once again, send your messages to us at 306-1065, 306-1065. And the numbers to call are 625-2759, 625-2759, or 624-7729. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. We're today on Sky 99.5 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sangeet 106.1 FM. Good day, doctor. What is the difference between a bladder prolapse and uterine prolapse. I am feeling a bulge in my area.
So we need to get this checked out once you're feeling that bulge. One leads to the other. The uterine, it's based on where different organs are. The bladder is lower. The uterus is again a different organ. So that's part of the endocrine organs, the endometrial organs. And the bladder is your urinary system. Either one can prolapse, one can lead to the other. If there's a bulge, please let us get it checked out. Hope that answers the question.
All right, let's get a call here. Hello. Good afternoon, caller. Hello? Hello, caller. Welcome. We seem to have lost that one. Of course, 625-2759 and 627-7729. The Lunchtime Doctor on Sky 99.5 FM, Freedom 106.5 and Sangeet 106.1 FM. We go back to our WhatsApp messages here. Good day, Doctor. What is the best way to test your prostate? Well, first of all, before you answer that, let's take the call. Hello, good afternoon. Yes. Good afternoon. Hello? All right, seem to be having some problems with the phone lines there. Yes, what is the best way, Doctor, to test your prostate? Would the blood test be as effective?
Great question. You know, there's a question we get all the time, and I welcome it every single time. But I know what the person is trying to avoid. He's trying to avoid getting that digital rectal exam. But here's the thing. That DRE is literally 30 seconds to a minute, one in, one out, and that's it. While the blood test does give us a certain estimation or an indication of what can be wrong, we get crucial medical knowledge, medical information, just on the patient from the DRE, and it is considerably more conclusive. We tend to do both together, as in the DRE, probably a scope, and of course the PSA blood test. So again, it depends on what is the problem, but I want all who are listening, I know many men, they have that probophobia. Right? They don't want to hear anything about it, but I'm here to assure you, it's like 30 seconds. In and out quickly, and we're so trained in doing this. We know exactly what we're looking for. We know exactly what we are probing for. So please don't be hesitant about it.
Can save your life.
Yes.
Hello, good afternoon. Really trying with these phone lines. Hello? All right, not getting through. All right, let's go back to the WhatsApps here. All right. Doc, after looking at my phone for some time, when I go outside, a single street light looks like 8 to 10 lights. Please comment. I am 53, male, thanks.
So that is double vision, or in this case, because you're actually seeing the lights, you're not having that focus on it, we definitely need your eyes to be checked. It's not only related to being on your screen and increased amount of screen time. As one ages, the muscles in the eye, the focus in the eye, may develop something called myopia or astigmatism. There are other conditions based on if there are any other health conditions like age-related macular degeneration that can happen. All of this we want you to get checked out. Now is a good time to get your book that appointment, get a comprehensive eye examination.
All right, good day, Doctor. My wife seems to be getting these bad cramps in her legs. What can you tell me what's causing that?
So anytime you're experiencing these bad cramps, you want to know if it's the nerves being damaged, or if it's directly related to diabetes, or if it's related to your high blood pressure. You want to ensure that, of course, it's not related to any sort of poor footwear or poor ergonomics in terms of the way one may sit, the way one may move about, or any previous trauma. So please, let's make sure any sort of cramps, you get that checked out.
All right, folks, we'll try with our phone lines again, 625-2759 or 624-2759. Yeah, 7729. Once again, of course, we have our sponsor, Super Farm, for today. Super Farm.
So, Super Farm, your prescription of trust. They have certainly always been there to make sure they are giving us that support in bringing this health information to you. And we take the time to thank Super Farm. You know, one time, one of my other colleagues said they walked into Super Farm and they heard the program being played. So, a warm appreciation to Super Farm in making sure you get this health information out to our population.
All right, let's try the phone lines. Hello, good afternoon. Is up there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, hello?
All right.
So, hello?
All right,
we got this one here. Yeah, man, what's going on?
Yes, I good, man. My simple and honest doctor, boy. Doc, whenever he wants to know about turmeric, but I want to know about apple cider vinegar from last week. So I bought a bottle in Pennywise. I want to know how to use it, how much to use, and how often, and just before meals, before after meals. And I never would like to know how to use it turmeric.
Okay.
For breakfast. Thanks a lot, Doc. Listening.
Thank you so much for asking. And you know, there's a follow-up call from the last week conversation on the apple cider vinegar. So most of those apple cider vinegar concentrations out there need to be diluted. It depends on which one and what is the percentage they said. Some actually may not need the dilution. So let's see what the information has shared. Most of the times, if it's the concentrate, it's literally 1 teaspoon, which is 5 mils, to a glassful, which is 200 mils. And so all you are doing is adding a small amount of your apple cider vinegar to your water. It could be water. Some persons add it to club soda. Some persons flavor their different drinks with the apple cider vinegar. We do not want it too concentrated because it can damage the enamel on your tooth. You can have it as first thing in the morning. In fact, that's my go-to, what I call my Zen drink. First thing in the morning, I have warm water with 1 teaspoon of apple cider vinegar and of course some grated cinnamon. That's what starts my day. I then go into my exercise routine, and right after that, I am fully prepped to go. Make sure you, of course, you can have it even throughout the day, but you do not want to overuse anything, including the apple cider vinegar. There are, when you come to the health benefits, similar health benefits for your apple cider vinegar and turmeric. Both are antioxidants. Both help support the immune system and your gut metabolism, and both ensure that they're adding back to the gut metabolism certain micronutrients. These are all very useful herbs that can be part of your diet. Turmeric can be used in cooking. And you know, it's so interesting that you're seeing a lot of turmeric added across internationally, when this is something that we've been using, our grandparents have been using this and recommending and keeping us healthy. Always everything in moderation. Hope that answers your question.
We now seem to be going back to basics with everything that is out there. All right, let's try this. Hello, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Doc, I wanted to ask you a question. My mom is 84 years old, and she has no diabetes or blood pressure, high blood pressure, anything like that, but she has a problem with her knee. The pain, I don't know if it's arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching some videos online, and they recommended boron for high inflammation. I want to hear your thoughts.
Thank you so much. So yes, at 84, that comes with the aging. There is a loss of collagen, a loss of the glucosamine, especially at the joints of the knees. And yes, certain medications can help. Now, that particular one that you mentioned, we're not going to really go into the dissection of a particular trademark medication. What I would suggest is certainly research it. Have the conversation with your healthcare professional, because they will know if she's on any other medications, if there are any interactions with that medication, the one that you suggested, and of course, if she's on any medications, and what additional additional can be useful. Now, at 84, we don't want to just introduce a new medications like that, because the system can react differently, can have a host of side effects. You also want to see if it's possible to have some sort of physiotherapy. While at 84, you may think that might be more difficult than just popping a pill. The actual utilization of bringing in that exercise, the physiotherapy, the stretching can bring tremendous benefits, can even help relieve that arthritic pain. In fact, you might start a medication and that may then have side effects that lead to further things. So keep in mind, integrate both, and of course, get the direct advice of a healthcare professional who has gone through all of your mom's medical history. Hope that answers your question.
Okay, calls. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah, sorry to call back, Doc. The turmeric, do you use it forever, or you have to stop after a month and rest for 2 weeks? Or, and how much you have to use? Is it a teaspoon before breakfast? Thanks a lot, you listen.
So turmeric is really, it can be grated, it can be a powder form, and it's really dependent on how you're using it. Most persons tend to use it in their meals. You really, again, just like the apple cider vinegar, you don't want to use anything in abuse or in excess. Everything in moderation. So small amounts, you can have it once per day with your meals, or some persons even like to utilize it in a milk. So it's really about in moderation, and of course small amounts, you can have it once or twice per day. I know that didn't give you an exact answer, simply because there are various presentations of how the turmeric can be. Hope that answers.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hello?
All right, we lost that one there. Let's go with this here. Good day, doctor. I'm 23 years and getting a scratching in my heel. It's unbearable.
So anytime you're feeling any sort of scratching or itching under the feet, one, we want to rule out any fungal infection, and we certainly want to ensure that there's proper foot hygiene. We may not realize the feet itself has a sweating that can happen. And if there's over sweating, there can be something called hyperhidrosis that may lead to a petri dish of things that can happen to the feet, including an itch or pruritus. We also want to ensure that anything is not off with the liver, because when the liver function becomes affected, the whole body, the skin, can present with this generalized pruritus. So there are a few things that we want to ensure and rule out, but the one I would want you to be very mindful of is proper foot hygiene. Hope that answers the question.
All right, let's get a question here from one of our Sky Court listeners. Good day, doctor. What can I use for Whitlow infected finger in a nail?
Right. So again, those things, when it comes to the nails, one, you want to have a dermatologist take a look at it. They can have different presentations. Most times than not, we start with a topical cream directly to the nail, and then we may add a systemic cream in it. Sometimes there may be a superimposed bacterial infection, there may be a fungal infection, but I would suggest have your dermatologist take a look at it, and then we can move forward and exactly once you know what your diagnosis is.
Hello, good afternoon. Hello? Yes, hello?
Hello? Good
yes. Hello, good afternoon, yeah.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm calling because we have 85-year-old, and he suffered a stroke 3 weeks ago, and we're trying to figure out we can help him feel better. It was on his left side, his fingers on his left hand. They're not moving very well. He can't, like, apply a lot of pressure, and he can't, like, place his hand over his head without a hand. He's still kind of bedridden.
I'm so sorry this has happened. Now, the unfortunate thing about a stroke is that once that area is affected, the return to normal function can be a lengthy process, but I do not want you all to give up. I am sure whichever health institution you presented to, they may have recommended a physiotherapist. They would also have your 85-year-old relative on medications to prevent a further stroke. Even if the physiotherapist is not recommended, every single day, a loved one, a caregiver can start those exercises on the hands, but I certainly would want you to engage the services of a recommended physiotherapist. There are post-stroke rehabilitation exercises, specifically depending on the ages, that one may utilize and engage with the physiotherapist. That is so crucial in order to regain some level of functioning post-stroke. But it's also very important that they not only stay consistent in the medications, but they also get some level of movement within the body, because once there was one thrombus, which is what causes the stroke, then another can easily happen again. So staying consistent with the medication and starting aggressive rehabilitation exercises. Hope that answers the question.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, folks, we are 5 minutes away from 1 o'clock lunchtime. Doctor, good day. I got the virus, the cold, lots of coughing. I remained with hiccups that comes and goes so much during the day. This has been happening 3 days now. What do I do?
Yeah, so post-virus, there's something called asthenia, where the body goes through different changes, especially with the muscles. Even you can have fatigue, weakness, hiccups, itching, changes in the skin, changes in the hair texture. All of that can happen. So it's called a post-viral syndrome. One, I would want to ensure your immune system is optimized. You want to make sure you're getting back your level of vitamin C, your level of zinc, your vitamin B's, and of course, when it comes to the hiccups, which can be quite difficult to manage your day, you want to ensure at that point in time you're sitting comfortably. You may take some longer, deeper breaths. We would recommend that you hold your breath just at the point where you feel the hiccup. That tends to ease the process or the trigger of the hiccup. You can also have some water that helps in settling those hiccups. But post-virus, those symptoms are expected. Again, we want you to nurture to ensure your immune system is well supported. And of course, your nutrition, your exercise is all back to order.
All right. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, Doctor.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm kind of a doctor. Last year I had a blood clot in my lungs and I was in Xarelto, but now I'm off the Xarelto. I like, so what could I do? I'm taking aspirin, but and I just like I'm so weak because of said it interferes with your stomach lining.
Mm-hmm.
But what natural repetitive means so that I won't get back that blood clot? That's one.
Yeah.
And aspirin. Yes. I'm water, right? I'm a taxi driver. And you know, on the road, I'm drinking a lot of water. It is having to back frequently.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to get the amount of water that I need and still not want to back myself?
So my darling, that's a perfect catch 22, because one, being a taxi driver and you're on the road, you're gonna get dehydrated, but you need to rehydrate and you need that amount of water. The recommended daily allowance is about 2 liters. However, that means you're gonna be using the washroom pretty often and you may not find that time in between the busy runs. So one, I would suggest you get rehydrating different fruits and vegetables. Watermelon, you can dice up some watermelon, so that way you can have that throughout the course of the day. And again, you don't want to have it in a heated form because it can unfortunately spoil, so keep it in a little cooler bag and you're still gonna get some hydration. And of course, you're gonna get fiber in. Similarly, you'll get that from cucumber, you'll get that from celery sticks. Those tend to be your fruits and vegetables where you get a high hydration from. but there's nothing that can replace the benefits of water. Now, when it comes to that blood clot that you had, please keep in mind, just like with the same patient who had a stroke, the chance of a repeat is very high. What are some of the things you want to make sure you're taking your medications? That is first and foremost. But two, you want to know if it was a hemorrhagic blood clot or a ischemic blood clot. What is the difference? One is cholesterol based and one is the blood formulation. So that will also help you to know if and what was the trigger for that blood clot within your lungs and what adjustments you need to make when it comes to nutrition and exercise. All of that, the lifestyle measures that we always talk about on this program, is also applicable to you. But when it comes to that daily movements, being one on the go, on the road all the time, please know you have to find that balance. Hydration is key. You don't want to have to be too hydrated and then you're holding it and develop a urinary tract infection. So find that balance within your daily lifestyle.
All right, docs, we have just about a couple of seconds there, so we wrap
it up.
So
we just want to make sure we acknowledge this program, and one of them being Superfarm, your prescription for trust. We welcome that sponsor. Thank you for making this program happen to all of our listeners across Trinidad and Tobago. I meet persons all across Trinidad and they thank me for this program. So we're ever grateful to the sponsors and of course our entire team at the TBC network that make it happen. Join me on Morning Brew at around 7:30, 7:40, where you'll get your opportunity to ask your questions live on air, and again join us right here 12 to 1 for your lunchtime doctor.
All right, thanks again. Catch you tomorrow, doctor. Once again, thanks to Superfarm for more savings in store. Superfarm, your prescription of trust. You've been listening to the Lunchtime Doctor right here on Sky 99.5 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sangeet 106.1. Please do enjoy the rest of your day.